All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is, what's today? July the 29th, 2026. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. Today is another one of those days where we had a huge rainstorm come through last night. Man, I don't know who wished for rain, but we have been getting it. So it was pretty exciting. A lot of thunder and lightning. It was pretty scary. In fact, we had talked about this because we did go to the fair, the state fair, which was really fun. But I looked at the weather and they said that Tuesday and Wednesday could have some really boomers. And they were right. We actually had some rain on Monday, but we were able to still get the fair in. We had a lot of fun. Always trying to find things to do with the kids in the summer. It's really, I have a lot of, I don't know, I feel sometimes summer is a little rough because I don't have a lot of stuff to do for my, actually for my son Sam, because there's not a lot to do. So he just kind of stays up late and sleeps all day, and which is funny because that's exactly what I would have done. Maybe not slept all day, but definitely stayed up late and slept in. But it just seems to feel like I'm not, you know, being a good parent, providing him with some sort of something fun to do. We always used to do camps and stuff, but he's getting older. And, yeah, it's funny. You know, he had an appointment this afternoon with his guy to go lift some weights at 2 o'clock. And he called and he's like, you know, where's Sam? And I was like, God damn it. You know, like, you know, it's one. I think it's one of the toughest things for me, at least in recovery, is to try to talk about how important it is, right, to have responsibilities and all these, do the next right thing, and all these great things that we're taught in recovery. The problem is he isn't in recovery, so it's hard for, you know, he doesn't really, he's not too into it, right? It up. Yeah, I just thought I'd come upstairs, see if I could sit down and chat a bit, see what's going on. A lot of thoughts, a lot of thinking, a lot of points I'd like to make, but man, it's a huge pile right now. And so I'm going to see if I can pick through it. I always think it's funny, you know, as a kid growing up, you know, I remember Foreigner was one of the first bands that came through. Albuquerque, at least that I paid attention to. And great band. So they bring me back to my youth, I guess. And but that listening to that song, I don't actually know if I've ever even heard that song. I mean, I think I have, but I haven't paid much attention. But clearly it's a love song, a breakup song. Don't break up. I love you. And it's funny, you know, I think about love and I think about what I thought of love and I think about what I think of love today. And it's so funny because early love for me was so full of fear and worry, right? I love you. I love you. So I think, you know, obviously my mom and my dad, I was so worried as a kid growing up that when my I couldn't imagine my parents dying. I loved them so much, right? But it was really the fear of being alone without them is what created me saying the word love. I love you, right? I love you. And really what I was saying is I'm so afraid to lose you one day. And conveniently, they've created this word love. And this word love means everything that I wanted to express to you. But the reality is I was just afraid of losing you. And then, you know, move fast forward to my first girlfriend. I love you. Oh. And then I even dated a girl once. You know, we're not going to say love, but we'd say I love cheese or something, you know. But it was always the same thing. I am worried I'm going to lose you. So here's more love. I love you. I love you. And now, right, my new feeling on love is just, you know, free of fear. Peace, love, free of fear. To me, is what love is today. And, you know, I don't want to be in any relationship where I'm afraid. You know, I don't want to be living my life anymore because I'm afraid. Who's going to find out what I've done? Whether it's drinking and driving, drugging, you know, inappropriate behaviors, whatever it is, I don't want to worry. And I've somehow slipped into this idea that that now is what I've chosen to call love. It's just this peace and free of fear. And it's been really incredible. And I don't know. That song just sort of made me think of it. So anyway, fast forward, whatever. I went to a meeting today. It is Wednesday. And it is As Bill Sees It. And so I thought I would come up here and chat about it. It's sort of funny because it does kind of relate. And the lady that read, she picked, you know, we go to the meeting and someone picks a page and reads it and then shares on it. And she picked page number one. And I'm going to read it. I'm sure I have read it. I know I've read it because there's a red dot by it, so I have read it. But it wouldn't have been, you know, I dive deeper into the middle of the book. I don't know why. I never go to page one. But here we are. And so let me read it. And it was called Personality Change. It has often been said of AA that we are interested in only alcoholism. That is not true. We have to get over drinking in order to stay alive. But anyone who knows the alcoholic personality by firsthand contact knows that no true alky ever stopped drinking permanently without undergoing a profound personality change. That's right. We thought conditions drove us to drink. And when we tried to correct these conditions and found that we couldn't do so to our entire satisfaction, our drinking went out of hand and we became alcoholics. It never occurred to us that we needed to change ourselves to meet conditions, whatever they were. Yeah. I've heard that, you know, someone said, what do I need to change? And, you know, you need to change everything. Everything about me, my personality, all of it. It is funny. We did go to the fair on Monday. And, of course, my wife and daughter, they had to get their caricatures drawn. And it was, you know, super simple, no issues. I've shared in the past how my mom and dad had their caricature drawn, and my mom had the martini, and my dad had his cigar. I don't know. Every little character defect showed up in the, not character defect, but, you know, what they liked, I guess, back in those days. It must have been in the early 60s, mid-60s, I guess. And they, you know, they liked to drink, and they liked to party, and they had a good time, and obviously the military was a huge deal to them, and my mom was kind of like, she was a hostess, but She was a very, she was a manager of a club. And back in those 60s, the clubs were like big deals. That's where everybody went to hang out, at the club. And so my mom seemed to have a lot of power around the town of Oklahoma. So she was a, you know, a big deal in that sort of scene. And, you know, so her characters were very glamorous and it was very funny. But, you know, I think about mine. And, you know, I shared in the meeting that, you know, and I've been doing this. Oh, you know, I've shared, you know, 18 years I'll have this in December, God willing, right? And everything that I came into this program for isn't really what sort of motivates me today, right? I mean, I've shared before it was the drinking and driving. But, you know, once I got into the program, of course, I wanted to fall in line with the rest of the good newcomers. And so, you know, I went to a lot of meetings. I got a sponsor. I worked the steps because I wanted what they had. I wanted what they had. And what did they have? I don't know. But they all seemed pretty happy and I wanted it. And so, of course, that means that I'm going to dive in to these steps and I'm going to do, you know, everything that I need to do because I want to put however, whoever it was that got me here way in the past, I want to move it out. I don't want to mess with that guy anymore. And the faster, the better. And so, of course, going through the steps and yes, nodding and writing things down and feeling confident. But this is a humble path. Right? This is a path through the steps about love, peace, and to be free of or freeing fear or freeing up of fear. But I didn't understand that. I just thought that the you know, I've been a drinker and a partier. I've gotten bad grades all the way through middle school and high school. This is it. This is where starting now, I'm going to be great. And if it had to be through the steps and I was going to do it and get through them and, you know, mark it off. Right. But the, what I've learned, right, for me, right, this is just for me, but I can't seek out anything. I can't seek out anything humble. Right. My head can't seek out things for my heart. I can't, you know, I've shared before, you know, this continuous search for God. You know, why did I care about having a relationship with God? Because I wanted something from God. In fact, up until I don't know. It hadn't been even that long. But if I was searching out something, if I was searching someone out, it was because that somebody had something I wanted, whether it was recognition in a group, whether it was talent that I wanted to learn, whether it was a relationship I was hoping to have, you know, sex, I don't know. But there was always, if I'm chatting, I'm wanting. And that's just how my whole life has always been. And so to come into this program and sort of implement that same philosophy, you know, I got to find God. I remember asking, you know, the spiritual awakening, when does that happen? Not even understanding for me what I have an idea what it is today, but what I thought it was like this little buddy that would pop out the floor and it'd be my connection to God, because in the end, I wanted God to, give me free healthcare, right? Give me a raise. Pay my mortgage, all the shit that was tough, the tough things in my life that I was dealing with, I would have preferred to have built a relationship with God and had God come in and take care of all of those things. But that doesn't happen, right? We know that doesn't happen, right? So my whole idea, you know, I'm doing the work, I'm participating, I'm, you know, clearly just taking the booze out of my life, there was going to be some changes. But like I shared in the meeting, you know, it was probably about 4 or 5 years ago, probably during this podcast, probably the fact that I've talked about it and really thought about it so much since starting this podcast, I have started to understand this idea that self can't seek humility, right? Self can't seek God. And the only reason I know that is because I kept trying and I gave up. no one showed up, and I'm still paying the mortgage, right? And so, like, every time in my life that I've ever tried to have a relationship with God, because it isn't the first, it's been several, it always turns out the same. Self-seeking something, self doesn't get it, self says, forget it, and I'm out. And I think that unfortunately happens with a lot of folks. I just happened to do this for a long time and start to call bullshit on myself, I guess. And so what has changed is that I've learned, and I really started learning this in that third step. You know, it talks about we turn in our will and our lives over the care of a God of our understanding. You know, for many years, I never really understood that. And, you know, I've talked about that whole awakening of how the third step worked. But what I found is that I start doing better things and start, you know, I gave up, right? The sparkle has faded as far as recovery. Now this is just like medication, right? It's just something you do. You know, it's, you know, when I came to this program, going to meetings was better than anything that I was doing. So I enjoyed it. But over time, right, the people forgive us, the relationships come back, or new relationships are started, new jobs, new careers, things change, and life goes on, and life starts to get better. And then all of a sudden, life is better than the meetings, and then that's where the real battle starts, at least for me. You know, I'm sitting in my house, right, with my family and all of the wonderful things that have come from being sober, and now I got to drag my butt out and go down to a meeting. You know, and it isn't because fear is I'm worried that people will wonder. Today, I have fear that if I do it once, I'll do it again. And I don't want to do that. And so to bypass all that stuff, I have a schedule and I go to the meetings. But it's just this real shift of, you know, like I didn't, you know, what's happened now is after living this life and living this life that is peace and full of love and freedom and no fear, I've become used to it. Right, we come into the program, we get used to not drinking, right? That's pretty cool. But then we start to understand how much, for at least for me, how much my life was based in fear. And once I found that out, I was like, gosh, this is incredible. And start to systematically address each fear maker. And we do that through, you know, we come into the program, we admit, we came to believe. You know, we start to turn our will and our lives over. And that's when I love how it says understood. This is where I started to understand what kind of God it is. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity and then to turn our will and our lives over to the care of a God of our understanding, or I'm starting to understand. I guess maybe that's the same thing. But all of a sudden, start to remove bad behavior, and I live in this peaceful place, and I'm like, I want that. Right? It's not like God said, this is what you have to do, and if you do it, you're going to get this. He didn't say anything. Nothing was ever said. I just got sick of being afraid and shame and all the worry and all of the dumb little things, right? And we find those. You know, we do that moral inventory. Some people are oblivious. I'm one of them. I'm oblivious to these things, right? And the moral inventory, you know, we sit down, the Mr. Jones, we start to understand, right? Accountability starts to come in. You got to be accountable to even address the idea that maybe I have a problem, right? For a long time, I didn't do anything wrong. It was everybody else's fault. But to actually sit down and say, you know, and I love the Mr. Jones story where it talks about, you know, I didn't go to school. I didn't, you know, I chose to drink and drug. And so for that, I'm where I'm at. And Mr. Jones didn't, and he's doing much better. And, you know, for a long time, I hated Mr. Jones for it. But the reality is that I am at fault for where I'm at. It's tough. It is tough. It takes years. And but we start to become at peace. And then we have the sixth and seventh, the character defects and shortcomings. And that, to me, is where it's all about. if you've been sober a long time, most of your issues probably lie in the 6 and 7 step. You know, and I talked about that weed, right? The 6th step is the leaves that we see. Oh, all of us see the leaves and the pretty yellow flower, the dandelion. Look at that. I see you got weeds in your yard down there. What's up with your yard? What's up with your weeds? Everybody sees my character defects. You know, I shared today, you know, when I came into this program as an active alcoholic, there isn't one word in any of these books that can fix me after I put a drink in my mouth. There isn't a word in here. This program is really about not drinking again. Not drinking again. And we go through all of it, but at the end, you know, it's these little things. You know, the character defects. You know, of course, we sat down with our sponsor and we write them all out. But the most of the stuff that I've learned about my character and my defects have been pointed out by people in the rooms, not by the readings. You know, that's one of the cool things about recovery is it takes a group. It takes we. You know, I've read so many freaking pamphlets and books, but nothing, you know, creased my brain like when I told my buddy Scott that he was a chatty Cathy and he called me out and he said it hurt his feelings and I was sarcastic. I was like, oh my God, I feel terrible. Note to self, first note in notes, do not be sarcastic with friends, which I was so good at. It was my specialty. But those are the, you know, but it doesn't, and of course, later on, we'll find out sarcasm is a character defect, you know, it is a problem, we'll read about it, but nothing points out stuff than a peer that's trying to get sober as well. You know, most of my personality changes came by being called out by my leaves, right? The things that the people can see or they hear me say. And those are all, there were quite a few, and, you know, I make an effort. I try not to be sarcastic. I try to listen. You know, I'm even, you know, I've shared in this podcast, I've had a lot of trouble about keeping my mouth shut when it comes to politics. I'm really much better. But it's taken about 2 months. But today I'm like just, I don't want to, I'm trying not to get involved. I'm not posting too much stuff on my Facebook anymore. I'm getting back to like posting pictures of food and running and yada yada, but I don't need to post stuff, political stuff. I don't need to start any shit. It doesn't matter. It's all ego. So I'm still working on the leaves, the ones that we see. But it's the 7th step, the shortcomings, the roots. You know, the roots. Those are the problem. You know, if you don't pull a freaking weed out and you don't get all the root, I'll tell you what's coming back, the weed. And if we don't pull out that character defect and we don't find the ones that nobody sees and we get the root, I tell you what's coming back, the shortcoming. You know, I think about some of the things, you know, the fact that, you know, there's always this beacon, like, a, you know, like when you're playing a video game and you got to get back to some place up top of the screen, there's like some marker. There's always this been this marker in my life about the day that I drank after almost 5 years of being sober. And to clarify, and I have to clarify to myself because I love to say that, but the reality was I was taking pain pills off and on. I did have an injury, but I was abusing them. And I wasn't following any of the directions that were given to me by my sponsor, which is, you know, don't do a lot of stuff that I chose to do. And so I really made a lot of stuff on my plate. And the fact is, you know, one of the, and I've shared many times, you know, just the honesty of that relationship. I was living a lie and I was trying to catch up in, you know, 1 year, the last 25 years. And so I was driven by self. And there was no humility involved in any of that. It was all get better. You know, I'd gotten to found the gym. I'd quit smoking. I had started running. I was just lathered up in a whole bunch of self. And so, yes, I was not drinking, right? Because it was better. But as soon as my life started to get better, which really happened the first day, right? It was fine living here in this town because it was, I had a routine. I had friends. you know, it was what I did. But when I moved away, I had no routine. I had no friends. And self was running on 100%. And it just started to fall apart. I remember there was a girl that worked at the club that I was sort of flirting around with. And that was a major distraction. And it just showed that I really wasn't, you know, 100% in this relationship because I was a mess. I should have never even been in one. But everything, and then ours started to pull apart, and then all of a sudden, drinking just seemed like a good idea. Not only did I start this relationship, not only did I start a relationship I shouldn't have been in, but in the end, I talked the person into believing that I could still drink again. It's a wonder this woman even has any well, we don't really talk anymore because her son is almost 21 years old, but you know, it's just, it's a miracle. I got to give that lady a lot of credit because I was freaking terrible. But, you know, like I was saying in the meeting today, it's probably been, you know, I'll celebrate 18 years. It's probably been in the last 4 years that I started to understand any of this. It takes time. It takes a lot of time. And I don't know, man. It's just, it's incredible that, you know, I read a lot of stuff, but it isn't until I start to feel my intuition, my feelings, right? I start to understand, you know, and today, like, old feelings will come up, you know, something will come up, someone will reach out. I'm like, oh my, someone said hi. I don't even say hi back. 5 years, 6 years ago, I might have said hi back. I don't say hi back because I don't want to worry. You know, I it was kind of funny. I had this, I'm going to make this quick because I sort of run too long. Let's see here. You know, I got this new car, and when I picked up the car, I started driving the car home, and I went into the audio system, the radio thing, and it had a profile put in. And the profile, the name on the profile was Nicole. And when I got home, I'm like, honey, I'm going to tell you right now, there is a profile in that car, and it's a Nicole. I don't want you. It was there, right? Because I don't want any trouble, right? Of course, you know, I would never do that, but I just, it's just how it is. I don't want any trouble, I started a new podcast about lawns, and I thought, well, maybe I'll promote it on TikTok. I had TikTok. My daughter's on TikTok. My son's, everybody's on TikTok. Nobody's on Facebook, and so I started an account. When I got home, I'm like, honey, I started a TikTok account. Friend me. You know, let's, you know, follow each other. I don't want to, because I don't want any worrying. You know, is it a big deal? Yes, it can be. These are the roots, man, and you got to pull the roots out. All right, anyway, let me read the Daily Reflection. I just wanted to come up here and do a podcast. I just chatting a bit. See what's happening. All right, Daily Reflection, July 29th. Anonymous gifts of kindness. As active alcoholics, we were always looking for a handout in one way or another. Yeah, from God. It doesn't say that, but that's as an active alcoholic, we're always looking for a handout in one way or another from God. That's what I was always looking for. That's the relationship, and even being sober too. All right, sorry, 12 traditions. The challenge of the seventh tradition is a personal challenge, reminding me to share and give of myself. Before sobriety, the only thing I've ever supported was my habit of drinking. Now my efforts are a smile, a kind word, and kindness. I saw that I had to start carrying my own weight and to allow my new friends to walk with me because through the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, I've never had it so good. You got that right, amigo. All right, well, listen, I appreciate it. I don't know if any of that made any sense, but I guess to wrap it up, for me, it put a bow on it, is that, you know, the personality change, it takes time. And it has to, for me, it had to naturally happen because I was because I was more comfortable in the peace. And when we do start to find the peace, it's nice. All right, anyway, have a great day. Bye. I don't wanna